And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once fought. The spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned.
Decorating eggs dates back to the spring rituals of pagan sun worship thousands of years before Christ. The spring fertility goddess Aphrodite, Eostre, or Easter, was thought to have turned a bird into a hare, thus the Easter bunny laying eggs. The most important motif or decoration pattern was the symbol of the sun, crosses, triangles, rosettes, and stars. The egg representing fertility has played many different roles throughout the ages, and has been associated with the pagan sun worship of many civilizations, including Greece and Rome, the Germanic countries, and even in Japan and China. One Egyptian account relating to the mystic egg of the Babylonians says that a very large egg fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. When the egg was hatched, out of it came the goddess Venus, or Astarte, from whom the name Easter is derived. Today, on the date known as Easter, which is celebrated at the exact time as the pagan fertility rites of antiquity, Easter egg hunts are held by traditional Christian churches around the world. Many times, religious leaders, fully aware of the abominable practices associated with Easter, fail to sound the alarm. The Bible says that they will be held accountable. It is no coincidence that the pagan practice of decorating eggs has crept into the organized church and is now associated with the resurrection of Christ. It is part of an age-old scheme to substitute the ways of the heathen in place of the true worship of the Creator. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Praise God. Hello, Brother Dan, Sister Linda.
Shalom, how are you?
Well, how are you? We're just fine.
I'll be okay after this 10-show marathon is over. It's stressful, but we'll get her done.
You've been doing that every week for a while, haven't you?
Well, not 10 shows. Actually, I think today was going to be 11. We had one cancellation. Typically, it's about 5 or 6 a day. But sometimes it just works out like that, especially on Hump Day, which is Thursdays, where we do some shows from Germany and England. And I don't plan it. Believe me, I'm not a glutton for punishment. But
that's the exact word I was thinking of.
Yeah.
It turns out that way. Some days it's just harder than others. But you all know that very well, having been in radio for 25 years. You all are some of the original pioneers of Internet radio, and it's not easy to do what you do, is it?
No,
it's not. Like we were discussing a little bit earlier, that it takes a lot longer than, you know, just like I say, to put up two programs after we're done takes a couple of hours.
Yeah.
To get it all ready and go. What do you say we say a prayer and get on?
Let's do it. Welcome aboard, everybody. We're here tonight for the Prophecy Hour with Messiah's Branch, Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. And why don't you open us up in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father God, we just ask for your intercession tonight with this radio program so it goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And just help us to be able to give the people something needful to them, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless Shannon and I, and bless this program, and of course my wife. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, back to that. We'll go back to that for a minute. I like just talking with you. A lot of people don't see that, and they think it's so easy and so free and all that stuff, but it costs money to put it up. It costs time. How long does it take you, on an average, you spend looking for radio guests, as an example?
Well, we could put a lot of time into it, and it's not easy to get a guest. I have built up a stable of speakers, so I don't have as many new guests these days as I should, but I plan to change that. But I can tell you, when I do, it's not easy. You got to track them down, try to get a contact info for them, and then hope that they'll want to come on your show. And surprisingly enough, there's many people that turn me down, never tell me why. So you got to have thick skin.
Yeah.
Too.
When they turn me down, I usually don't get a turn down. I usually just don't get an answer from them, is what they do. But how I found out, if something that might work for you, what I would do is, if you don't have it someplace, I would put a list, and I'm just redoing my list right now online where everybody can see it, but I have a list of I keep a list of all my radio guests, and with the most predominant on top. And so automatically when I send them a pitch, I'd send them a link to check out. I'd say, check me out here, and they click on and they see all the other people that have been on there. And so they go, oh, well, if that person's on there, then, well, maybe it'd be beneficial for me. At least I think that's what did it. Actually, I just give it all to the Father. That's my best guess.
Well, I tell you, what you're doing works, because you've had some of the most awesome guests over the years and continue to, and some people won't even give a Mega Man time of day, so you're doing it right over there. And I'm a big fan of Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. For those that are tuning in, you're in for a real treat if you tune into their programs, because they've got really cool guests all the time. In fact, you've broken many of the stories before anybody else has, especially here recently. You were talking with one guest about the discovery over in Sinai.
Yeah, that would be Joel Richardson. Well, Joel Richardson and his partner, Ryan, which they're now kind of partners. Now, Joel went back during the Feast of Tabernacles to the real Mount Sinai, or is currently, the term that they're using mostly now is the Mountain of Moses, so we'll just use that. Anyway, the real Mountain of Moses, and during the Feast of Tabernacles, while we were off tabernacling, Joel was sending me tweets from Saudi Arabia, and I knew him probably figured that it was just infuriating me because, you know, it's how bad I want to go, can't afford it. But it was historic because when he went in Tabernacles was the first Christian tour ever allowed into Saudi Arabia, period, let alone to the real mountain of Moses, which they knew that's why they wanted him to come to that. But so that was a historic event. Joel, in fact, I was poking around on him a couple of days ago on Twitter, and he apparently hasn't talked about this latest trip much, so he's going to come on my radio program tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central on Prophecy Hour. Folks, you can listen live or wait till about 9 o'clock. It'll be in the podcast. But he's going to talk about his trip to Saudi Arabia for the real Mountain of Moses and just said it was fantastic. And so that's what's on the agenda tomorrow. And then at the first program at 5 p.m. Central will be who? Who am I sitting here with?
Tomorrow it'll probably be Dan and I think his wife.
His wife? This one that's over here being
yeah,
quiet?
Yeah, it's me tomorrow.
Yeah, I was wondering if he's going to say anything tonight. Anyway, being over there all quiet. But, yeah, so we'll have good programming tomorrow. I don't know exactly what my wife and I talk about tomorrow. Usually I'll get right at, I'll think I have it all figured out, and then I'll change my mind at the last minute.
That's why I stop planning things, because every time I plan something, it changes anyway. So why plan?
Like that yawn?
Yeah.
Well, you just got back from a trip. She went and got another cat.
I got my, are those Persian cats?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
It looks like a walkie or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it looks like one of those Furbies. There's real live Furbies. They got little flat face pug nose, real fluffy. I think they're Persian. I don't remember what she said they were, but they start out at $1,200 a piece and they can go up to about $5,000.
You didn't buy it.
No, my daughter got it for me because it had something. It wasn't gaining weight. She wasn't gaining. It's a girl, and I haven't named her yet. And she don't. They've been calling her Little Head or Little Face because she's got a little face. But she told me she wants me to name it something else, and then the lady wants pictures of her. But she's 8 months old, and she's just the cutest little thing. I got to come up with a really cool name.
Okay. Anyway, that's where she was at. But anyway, but yeah. So radio, tune in to Prophecy Hour. I want to give you a little bit of breaking news. I'd like to see it get out there, and I want you to talk and comment, because I know you were curious about the impeachment thing going on, right? The impeachment inquiry?
Yes, sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, now this is breaking news. In fact, it hasn't even hit Fox News and other ones. I got it from a couple of different places. It is floating around on Twitter right now, but the main outlets haven't even touched with it. And when I first put it on Twitter, nobody... None of the outlets even had it on Twitter, but anyway, here it is. And this is going to blow things wide open. Now, you know, all the talk about the impeachment is supposedly quid pro quo, meaning that President Trump was supposedly forcing the Ukraine into doing an investigation on the Bidens, you know, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, right? Okay, well, here's what we found out today. I'll let you read that.
The Burmishima.
The head of
the Burmishima Holdings was indicted this week in Ukraine.
Are we back?
Hang on, we're back. Brother, I made a grievous error. Do you remember you told me about Skype sometimes will dump you if you hit a key?
What'd you do, hit a key?
What'd you do, dump us?
I shouldn't have been...
Yeah, is.
I shouldn't have been typing a message in Skype. Let me close that window. It dumped us right off. Okay. We're going to pick back up. We're talking about the impeachment. Now, what was that document that you just read?
Okay. I'll just give it to you real quick.
Okay.
The head of the Burmishima, and I'm as bad as my wife with this one, the head of the Burmishima, that's the holding company that was employed Hunter Biden, right? Okay. The head of it was indicted. You understand? The Ukrainian prosecutor general indicted the owner, Nikolas Zelensky, and indicted him on charges that Hunter Biden and his partners receive $16.5 million for their services.
Wow.
Ukrainian members of the parliament have demanded the presidents of Ukraine and the United States and Donald Trump to investigate suspicions of legalization of $7.4 billion by the family of ex-president Yanukovych, or whatever his name is, through the American Investment Fund. Now, so what's going on here is all these things that they were talking about is just what it is. The Bidens did do something. The guys has been indicted, and they want the Bidens investigated. What's that, Mom?
They said the rest of that is the investment fund Franklin Templeton Investments, which they say has ties to the U.S. Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's all tied, and they want it all investigated, but they indicted. Their attorney general indicted the main guy that employed the Bidens, and they go on in the article that we posted, and it's over on our website, that they went into detail about saying the money that the Bidens got was not for earning anything that he did, but was it came out of illegal money and all this stuff that was siphoned away from the Ukrainian people.
So let me guess. At the end of the day, all this impeachment thing that they got going on with Trump is kind of like the Russian collusion. It's to get your mind off of this so that they think they can get away with it. Is that the deal?
It's like this.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, the only ones that colluded with the Russians in the first place was
Hillary.
Was Hillary and the rest of them and the Ukraine, this quid pro quo. The only thing that the only person that ever did that was, well, I won't say the only person. It's a proven fact Obama and a bunch of the other presidents did this with the Ukrainians. They've always been illegal. But the point is the things that they're accusing Trump of, they're guilty of. And now the Bidens are, starting with Hunter Biden, is under investigation. And so is the vice president, because he called off the investigation on him. And so it's wide open. It's being prosecuted right now in Ukraine. And so then if Trump had, let's go with this, if President Trump had told them, you don't get any money unless you investigate the Bidens, that would have been a good thing, not a bad thing. Because they're saying right now that there was indeed money that was misused, and it was 16.4 million or whatever.
Actually, he would be doing his job. That's what he is supposed to do. Hello.
There's the point. And then the rest of their stuff pointed out, like their star witness today, Snowden, came on and said a whole bunch of things. And then they asked him, they said straight out, did the president ever tell you anything about this? And he said, well, yeah, he said there was absolutely, he wanted nothing in return for giving them money, and he said it to me three times. I want nothing in return. I want nothing in return. And they said, well, how did you then decide, what is all this from? He said, well, I just presumed it. See, it goes back to that. All they have is hearsay evidence because it never happened. There's the point. Back to you. What do you think, Omega Man?
You know, I heard Joe Biden sit there and threaten Ukraine that if they didn't fire that guy, America was going to withhold money. He's been caught red-handed. And so,
sure he did.
As you said, the very stuff that they're guilty of, they're blaming President Trump on and falsely accusing him. They did it in Russia, as you said, Sister Linda. They're doing it now to cover Biden's tracks. And they're not going to stop. They're just wicked people.
Amen.
And Hunter, he's got no experience for the positions that he was hired for. This was padding the pockets of him and his dad. This is bribery at the highest levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what's going on. Did you happen to catch anything about Barr this last Sunday? Now,
no,
a lot
sir.
Of people said, you know, I'm talking about our Attorney General Barr that is doing investigations into actually the coup that's going on. And some people say, well, he's not going to do anything or not. Well, he is going to do something. In fact, here is his, this is the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America, and this is what he had to say on the program called, I think it was called The Federalist. Well, here, just...
Okay, excuse me. I don't know why I'm so yawny today. Okay. November 19th, 2019, in a rousing speech to the Federalist Society's 2019 National Lawyers Convention on Friday night, Attorney General Bill Barr destroyed the leftist resistance to President Donald Trump, exposing them for the imminent danger to our constitutional republic that they truly are. Barr stated, immediately after President Trump won the election, opponents inaugurated what they call the resistance, and they railed around an explicit strategy of using every tool and maneuver available to sabotage the functioning of his administration. Barr said, now resistance is the language used to describe insurgency against rule imposed by the accompanying military power.
Wait a minute, stop. By an occupying military power.
Oh, what did I say?
Just go on.
Anyway, and obviously connotes that the government is not legitimate, he continued. This is a very dangerous, indeed, incendiary notion to import into the politics of a democratic republic. What it means is that instead of viewing themselves as the loyal opposition, as opposing parties have done in the past, they essentially see themselves as engaged in a war to cripple by any means necessary a duly elected government. The fact of the matter is that in waging a scorched earth, no holds bar war on resistance against the administration, it is the left that is engaged in the systematic shredding of norms and the undermining of the rule of law, he added.
Okay, so what the point is that he's saying that this resistance is basically illegal. This is what you use right now. Let's go with this. The resistance in Iran is the people that want the government overthrown of Iran right now. When we talk about resistance, it's always to when there's an occupying power. Like, have you ever seen that movie, oh, gosh, what's the name of it? Red Dawn, Omega Man. You ever seen Red Dawn?
Oh, yes. Number one and the second version.
Okay. So what did they call the kids that were fighting back? They called them the
Wolverine.
Resistance.
Yes.
Right. And so this is what Barr is saying, that the current people, the Democrats, are. And they have said it. They said, it's the resistance. Well, they're acting like President Trump is illegitimate and it's an occupying power. Well, this is the personal opinion of the Attorney General of the United States. That's why I had to read it. And so he is doing legal action in the investigation of how the whole thing got started and all the illegal things out. Now, December 9th is going to be the Inspector General's report comes out on December 9th. On December 11th, he will appear in Congress before Lindsey Graham in the Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans, so it won't be a fiasco, right? So these things are going to be exposed. All we're seeing right now with what's going on with these so-called impeachment proceedings is nothing else but it's a coup. They're trying to overthrow the government. That's what it absolutely is. You can tell they're doing. They're trying to overthrow the rule of law. They don't care how they do it. And that's just exactly what it is. In fact, I believe there's going to be arrest and everything else. If there is no arrest, let's say that they did possibly impeach Trump, there will be bloodshed in this. This is actually a civil war we're in. There will be bloodshed, and 7 out of 10 Americans side with me on that and believe it right now. 7 out of 10, you imagine that? Believe that we're right there in a civil war and that any moment bloodshed would happen. This is where we're at in America.
Hey, I got a question. I probably ought to know the answer to, but I don't. I really haven't. Have they ever allowed Trump to even have a full cabinet yet? Or he doesn't even have a full cabinet yet.
He is missing some still people. He's still
missing. And that's unheard of. That's not even, it's never happened before, has it?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It let's go back to it has it's not the normal thing that's going on. It's a coup against the president of these United States.
So everything he's accomplished, he doesn't even have a full cabinet, and it's almost election time again, really?
Everything that he's accomplished accomplished in this country, he accomplished basically on his own.
Right.
And from some immediate people. One thing he has did dramatically, because he does have the Senate, it only takes the Senate to appoint justices. He has installed more permanent federal judges than any other president. In fact, he's got like 250-some-odd appointments that's already appointed to the federal judiciary, which means he's changed. See, that's why they're screaming. He's changing the face of the court from being liberal courts to conservative courts. And that's what he's doing. And they're screaming. And see, they don't care about the rule of law. That's what you can see about the left. They don't care about lying. They'll lie, cheat, steal. They don't enforce the rule of law. That's why you go, well, Barr's doing something. I hear this all the time out of people. They'll say, well, if Barr's doing something, all this and all these investigations going on, why is it we're not hearing about it? Or that he's going to arrest this person or that person. You know what the rule of law is? I asked you this the other day. What do you do during an investigation?
Gather evidence. And then when you have enough evidence to make it stick, then you get them. So, yeah.
But you do you go around telling the media about it?
No, you don't tell anybody till you have enough evidence to make it stick.
Okay. So what's the left doing? They're doing entirely the opposite.
Giving him the evidence to make it stick.
Well, they're trying to produce the evidence. But the point of the matter is that Barr is working on things, and we are going to see some arrests. It is. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Back to you. We'll let him comment if he has.
You know, I want to ask a question of the people. Do people remember when Wicked Hillary was running for office in 2016? And it's come out since then. All the tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions, actually, I think, donations to the Clinton Foundation. How much money they took in? Maybe $1 billion. Many from foreign governments, who were paying bribes, getting in line, in turn for favors that they were going to get back if she was president. Same thing happened with the Bidens. This is bribery at the highest level. This is kickbacks, folks, payoffs. And you know what? These Democrats have a record of doing this. And I'm not saying the Republicans are innocent. But I tell you what, I'm so excited to hear this news tonight that Barr... that administration is going to make some announcements on December 11th. Now, is it him that's going to do it, or is it the special investigator that he hired?
Okay, here's what's going on. The inspector general is Horowitz. I think that's his name. He's doing a separate investigation. His investigation is about, did they use illegal things to tell the FISA court? That's the secret court. You know, they have this for the people. They have a secret court when they're investigating terrorists or something of that sort, or things that are critical to the government, or like in this case, if it was legitimate that President Trump had sold out to a foreign government. So they don't, what the rule of law is. They don't want them to know what's going on and take them in front of a court to where they can defend themselves, because then it'd let them know about the investigations. But they need warrants to do certain things. So they take it up, and this came from after 9/11, which I can see some good things, but there's some very bad things. I look for the courts to be changed after this. But so they go up in front of a court that is secret. Nobody knows but them. And so, therefore, there's no defense. Whatever the prosecutors bring in front of the judge takes it as verbatim and believes their testimony, and they issue the warrants. You understand what I'm saying? And so what the first investigation, the inspector general's investigation, is investigating, did they knowingly mislead the court? Which of course they did. They used a whole bunch of bogus documents and things to, trump this up, so to speak. But the point is, the investigation is going on into what evidence, what lies did they tell the court, and so on and so forth. Now, if they had cleared these people, it would only take a few pages, right, to say, okay, they're clear, they didn't do anything. This report has over 500 pages in it. And in fact, there's been people that in Congress that have talked about it a little bit, what they could say. And they're all expecting in this to lead to criminal indictments out of it. But the inspector general doesn't really have the ability to charge an indictment. He, in turn, turns it over to Barr. But Barr, when he came into office, he started a separate investigation and hired hired this other, I can't remember his name.
I got him. John Durham.
Hired,
I got him confused. His name is John Durham. You're right.
Yeah, John Durham. Okay. So the inspector general is one thing. When that comes out, then they see that the FISA court has been messed with, then Barr will do the follow-up and do investigations, and people will be indicted. They'll go to jail over it. Point is, but see, that's one separate investigation just over the FISA court. So after Barr came in, he started looking around himself to see how all this got started, the investigation against Trump. He immediately saw that there was much more than he should or could be handling by himself, and so he appointed the other guy that you mentioned. What was his name?
John Durham.
John Durham. John Durham is known as a bulldog, and he's always been used to go after crooked politicians and crooked police officers and so on and so forth, and has a history of not being afraid to do it no matter what side of the aisle you sit on. Okay. Well, so Durham was appointed to be put into investigating. Now, hang on the word, investigation. So it went for a normal investigation, and then about 3 weeks ago, his investigation was changed. They said now it's a criminal investigation, and now they have a right to go to grand juries and everything else, and so there probably already been some indictments. They just haven't been released to the public, nor anybody got arrested yet. So that's a separate thing than, see, one's just about the court. The other is about, okay, well, who conspired to do this plot against the president of the United States? In other words, who in this resistance, as he's calling it now, did this and pulled this coup on the president of the United States? That's what's going on. So there's a criminal investigation with indictments coming. It's all going to come. It's going to come. And you can see the attitude of Barr right now. He's not afraid to speak up for what it is because he's an honest guy. He's speaking out. He's calling it the resistance. He's telling them they're depraved, and it's just crazy. So we're going to see some major things bust. And it'll be before the end of the year. You any more questions or want to talk about it?
That's awesome. So we got Horowitz, and then we got Durham. And you know what? If they can just nail one of these people that was in the Obama administration doing these wicked things, get Hillary Clinton herself, I'm here to tell you, they just get one of the small guys or gals. They're going to be squealing like pigs.
I very seldom really like to put my opinions on things like this or whatever, but I do have a real strong opinion what will happen. And all they have to do is indict one person or threaten one person, and these guys will, like we say, they'll scream like pigs. They'll rat everybody else out, and it'll happen. They'll fall like dominoes. And this is going clear. The biggest person that we already can see is the one that lied to the courts, and the one that's behind it is the two people that are screaming the most, and that is Brennan, the CIA. And actually, you know that we can prove, you know, one of my guests, Pastor Carl Gallup, now, he was in on the investigation where he was appointed to Sheriff Joe Pio's posse, cold case posse, that investigated Obama's birth certificate online. Now, they did not come out and say that he was born anywhere else. They didn't say he was from Kenya. He didn't say any of those things. All their investigation entailed was to prove that the birth certificate that was given to the American people was a forgery. And who produced it? It was produced. They have released that much information. Problem is, they couldn't get it when they discovered everything. They couldn't get anybody in Congress to want to even point fingers. Things are changing now. But the point is, they proved that it was from the CIA that produced the fake birth certificate that Obama produced to the world. Now, in all this, so that we're talking about Brennan. Brennan is also the biggest fish in this sea that we're talking about right now, and he's a coward. He will rat Obama off. In fact, he already said a few weeks ago, he said, "We did not do anything that President Obama did not tell us to do." And he said that in several live reports when he was being, he was a little bit shook up. So we know where all this is really going to go. If you really connect the dots and you really pay attention to everything, and, you know, I spend hours a day in research when I'm not at the Mission Church. And if it's not the Sabbath, I'm in here in research for hours a day. And so I read a lot of things. And the point is just that I believe that Brennan will scream, I believe, but inevitably it will be Obama that this whole thing will point right back to. And practically everybody in his administration back to you.
I'll tell you another weasel is that guy, James Clapper, former director of the National Security Intelligence Agency, or was it the NSA? I'm not sure. I get these guys confused, but you know what? Their day of reckoning is coming. I'll tell you what the sodomocrats have done. They've dug a hole so deep, they'll never get another Democrat in office for at least 8 more years, maybe 12. Because I'm going to make a prediction. Withstanding something, you know, catastrophic, President Trump will be next president. He's going to do such a good job, they're going to give another Republican a chance for at least 4 more years. So they have really set themselves back. They've done nothing in 3 years but go after President Trump on trumped-up charges.
Yeah, on trumped-up charges. Let's go with this. I was looking at her, and that's funny how that works out. Anyway, I was looking earlier at some numbers, and the Democratic National Committee, that's the one that runs the campaign, right, for the Democrats to try to win the presidency, okay? Right now, they only got about $3 million in their coffers. And right now, though, they have an outstanding debt of $7 million. So this is a telltale sign. Really, while they want you to believe that so many people are going to vote Democrat, I believe most of the Democrats are jumping ship. In fact, this whole impeachment hearing was being held by CBS News, well, all of the broadcast news every day. CBS News, after the second one, second day of it, bailed out and went back to the regular programming because it was so bad. There's not been one person in this impeachment inquiry that has any direct knowledge of anything other than to say that either I presumed it or I heard John Henry say it, that John Doe said it, so on and so speak. There's not one shred of evidence of anything because why? There is none unless they manufacture it. So I don't believe the American people are that stupid. And let's base it off this. The Democrats keep trying to appease the illegal aliens. They want open borders and they want to give free health care to all the illegal aliens. Well, you got to make you wonder, well, why is that? Well, I know why that is. It's because, number one, there's 22 million illegal aliens in the United States. They found out that 3 million of illegal voters were on the California rolls, and thanks to Judicial Watch, they had to remove 1.5 million. And so that tells you Hillary's so-called winning the popular vote was actually warning California, and you can see who won it. The point is that illegals vote. Obama told them to vote. Hillary told them to vote. All of the Democrats told them to vote. Why? Why do they want their vote? This is a dramatic change. Because a few years ago, the black folks and the other minorities started waking up. And they realized that soon there was no way they were going to win another vote. So they had what they called replacement people, you know, replacement citizens. In fact, that's in a UN mandate made in 1963, the UN said that certain countries needed replacement populations.
Wow.
The United States was one of them, and these were supposed to be done by refugees. The United States was one of them on the list, and so was Europe. Look how that's working out for Europe.
Oh, man.
I predict a civil war in Europe and several other countries over there. In fact, there's a couple of countries, I just don't want to go into it right now, but have actually started deporting all of the Muslims back out of the country. Why? Actually, in the Muslims' point of view, that was, they even have a name for it. I don't remember what it is, but it's by moving a population in to replace, you know,
so what are they, what do they set up a certain poll station where they go to vote? Because they, if they're illegal, they can't register to vote. So how are they voting if they're not registered?
They just go register. They allow them to, it's like this.
How do they register with no ID? You can't have ID to register. Don't make no sense.
Okay. How, that's, see that now, and I'm not down you, but I want to use you as an example. See, that's what most people say. Well, wait a minute. How can they do it if they can't register to vote? You know how many cities and states across the country now give illegal aliens driver's licenses?
Yes.
And did you know that in some states, like California, when you register for a driver's license, it automatically registers you to vote? So how can they? They've been doing it, and they are doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they've been doing it. And so
that's why American-born citizens can't even get a ID, let alone a driver's license, because they don't have no ID to get an ID. So how they get an ID? They got to know the people to know the people to do it.
No, they don't. No, they don't. If you're talking about in Kansas, in these other states, they can walk in. If you're an illegal, they want to give you a driver's license. They want to give you a driver's license because they say you can even vote in illegal in local elections. See, they already say you can vote in legal election. This is what's been going on. This is absolute fact. That's an absolute fact, just like Donald Trump said. So the point is that's why they're trying to play to the 22 million people that are illegally here in the United States. They want their vote. Why do they want the borders down? They don't care if they bring in terrorists, murderers, rapists, thieves, homosexuals, whatever. They don't care what they bring in because they just want their vote so they will stay in power permanently. And it's part of a 16-year plan that was put forward by Obama and Hillary Clinton and the globalists to destroy America within 16 years. This is part of it, and it's a fact. Back to you.
You know, there's a prophecy. It talks about land being overrun with men like caterpillars who lift up a hand and shout. We've literally been overrun by many people who don't want to be Americans. No, they want to turn America into, you know, a satellite of where they come from. And I'm not racist by any means. But you know what? We have laws for a reason, and everybody should obey the law. If you want to come in the right way and apply. Now listen, I'm an American. I'm in the largest Muslim nation in the world called Indonesia. Do you think that they will bend their laws over here for someone that just wants to come through the border? Listen, they'll arrest you in 5 seconds. Let me tell you something. Do you know that when I came into this country, came here illegally through the airport, they only give me 3 weeks visa? That's their standard visa. You overstay that, you pay a fine, and they arrest you and deport you. They mean business. And rightfully so. They have a right to do that. They're a sovereign nation. And you want an extension, you got to apply. And you know what? I got my extension. They give you another 3 weeks. I had to leave the country and go to Malaysia 15 times to remain legal. Now,
wow.
But that's normal.
So
it's
normal
here.
You got a citizenship now, though, right?
Oh, no. I'm not. I'm an American citizen. But after a while, I was able to get a one-year visa. When that's up, I have to leave unless I get an extension. So there's a process, and it wasn't easy, but I have to obey the law. The alternative is you go to jail and you pay a fine. Now, that's the law here. Should America not have rules too?
Well, most countries in the world do. Here's the kicker. Let's go like this. The European Union. European Union, that's such a big joke. And there's several, in fact, that's why England's getting out of it. Because the major thing that the European Union did, so this was all independent European countries, and they all had borders. Some of them even now still have borders. But by joining the European Union, that meant that anybody, it was like the United States, so to speak. We can go from Kansas to Missouri or wherever we want because it's all the same country. Well, when the European Union did that, it allowed the mass migration of so-called migrants, refugees, whatever, across Europe. And so Europe is now being taken over.
Oh, yes.
And so countries are fighting to get out of it. And places like Paris and other places that we've seen that were beautiful places to go romantically and visit, they're all trash heaps. And some of the countries are fighting back. In fact, I heard that they're training the French. There's a French elite group that's supposedly training there by the French government that they are going to try and inject them. And the same thing, Italy already started deporting back to you.
Absolutely. No, Europe has been emaciated.
Oh, right.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not even safe to go on the street as a lady. In many of these places, they gang rape people. I've seen the footage. And you know what? You complain, the police will target you. They don't want anybody to identify that they got a problem, especially in Sweden. So there's some real issues in Europe, and we have problems in America.
The same ways in Germany. Let's not leave Germany out of it.
Oh, Germany.
Germany is actually one of the worst culprits of it.
In fact,
the German newspapers have been told. In fact, most of the countries have been told they don't allow their newspapers, so much for freedom of speech. They don't allow them, like if somebody gets caught raping somebody, they don't allow them to identify if they're a refugee or illegal or black, white, or whatever. They won't let them identify them because they don't want to make them look bad.
What you said is true. The reason the Democrats want no holds barred immigration is so that they can maintain their power base, because these same people, as you mentioned, that come in and they break the laws to get in and they're given amnesty, they're put on welfare. Some have even been given retirement, never worked an hour in this country. They qualify for all kinds of benefits that the average American can't get. It's the truth. What they're going to do is they're going to be so grateful that they're going to keep the Democrats who brought them in office. And we've got a real problem. We need to have a border. Go and try to stay illegally in Mexico. They'll arrest you down there and deport you. Just about every country will, until, you know, Merkel decided to change the rules for Europe. It's always been that way. And America should not be able to protect its borders. Let me flip this over to another subject.
Yeah.
I'm holding out optimistically that President Trump's going to be in office again for another 4 years. And in his second term, he can't be reelected, right? So he's got nothing to lose. I hope that he just tears into these people with extreme prejudice who have been trying to destroy our country. I'm talking the deep state and these wicked politicians. What's he got to lose? But what if I'm wrong and it's not a smooth road? Have you heard about that prophecy from Kim Clement that he gave before he died? And the word was that there will be another Snowden. And this one is going to expose things that is going to really change America. In fact, God's going to humble America. That was the word, humble us twice, and then he was going to lift us back up. Did you know that Edward Snowden just released a book? And I'm thinking about what Kim Clement said. I wonder if this guy is going to surface anytime soon, or gal. I don't know who it is. And is going to expose something that's just going to devastate this country. Rocket at its core. And I wonder if we're going to see some of the prophecies of Dmitry Duterman, Michael Boldea, carried out sooner than later. What do you think about that?
I do have an opinion. I actually, absolutely. There's so much that we could talk about. It'd take another hour, but I'll go with this. Number one, I do believe, I most heartily believe in what Dmitry Duterman said.
Yes.
It said that everything would start when part of the government in the central part of the United States would start fighting against the government. Okay, but this is also what I believe. Everybody talks about timing, and this is what I believe about the timing. This is what I believe about President Trump. I believe during the Obama years that a lot of Americans, true-hearted ones, you know, people that voted for Trump, prayed and screamed out to God. And the father answered us. Obama was a part of what we got because it's what America deserved for the fact yes. that it was on. It was actually merciful, in a sense, to give us Obama so that we would cry out, because that's how he changes people.
Amen.
He doesn't, if he wants to change you, he puts you in the fire to change you. So the point is, we got Trump. I believe that we got Trump due to prayers. Will Trump be the next president again? That will depend on Americans. That will be trained on Christians that will scream out and start speaking up and standing up. See, it's our job. That's the job of the body of Messiah, is to stand up and point out evil. That's why we're not supposed to hide our light under a bucket. We're supposed to scream about bad behavior. We're not supposed to just stand by and say, oh, that's God's problem. Well, it is the Father's problem, but he uses people. We are a free-willed people. He uses people to achieve his goals. And so I believe that the next, what will happen next, depends on we the people, and we the people, especially Christianity. So if I was talking with Pastor Carl Gallups last week on our radio program, and he confirmed with me that in the 2016 election, you realize that 35 million evangelicals didn't get out and vote. Why is that? Because the church has told them all these years, they quit talking about political speech because they got the 501(c). When they got the 501(c), that made them a corporation, and corporate rule says that they can't do any political speech, so they shut up. Prior to that, if you went to your local church back in the 60s or before, you would, if there was a politician like the Johnson, who put forward the Johnson Amendment, which created a 501(c), back in 58, they were after Lyndon Johnson, who was a senator in Texas. He was a drunkard and a womanizer. So he wanted to shut the church up because the church was speaking against him. He couldn't do anything about it. So he created the Johnson Amendment. And that gave him the 501(c) designation, made it by just a simple phone call. Anybody could check and see if they were legitimate. And it started bringing in mountains and mountains of money to the churches. Well, some churches just got greedy, and so they just started shutting up. And so they quit talking political speech. And that's why we are where we are at right now in America. That's why they do politically correct speech. Instead of standing up against homosexuality and all these other things, they just shut up. They don't talk about it. And that's where we're at now. So it's up to us to repent. If we don't repent, we don't pray, we don't speak out, then President Trump will not make it to another term.
I believe so strongly.
Another 4 years of blessing. In fact, even Sendar Salvarez, I think his name, said the same thing that I'm saying now, is that it's all contingent on whether we're praying and speaking out. Because you got yes. to do your part. Faith is an action word. You don't just say, okay, I pray for that to happen, but you get up and do what you can to make that happen. That's how the Father works. Back to you, and then I want to talk about Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. We got 15 minutes, so we're going to transition just a minute into an important date coming up. Let me just say this. I believe so much in the warning for America given to Dimitri Dudeman, Michael Boldea, that we're dedicating issue 11 front cover to that. We got it already made. We show a skyline with a mushroom cloud. And the heading is Message for America. Folks, you want to get this issue. If you've never heard the Message to America given in 1984, to Prophet Dimitri Dudeman, who, by the way, Brother Dan, you and Sister Linda met him, didn't you?
Yes, oh, yeah. I met him. And that'd take about 10 minutes
yes.
or so. But, yeah, I heard him pray in Romanian, and I understood every word of it in English when he prayed for some folks.
Folks,
and that was in person.
If you've never heard this message, you need to get the issue. Michael gave me permission to reprint it. We'll also put links in there to the videos you can watch on some of the YouTube channels. Hear the warning for America, because it's going to happen. Red Dawn style, sooner or later, and I hope much later. But we need to know what's coming, and we can be prepared, folks, spiritually, and then if God tells you to prepare in the flesh, so be it. But
when's it going out?
It'll be going out Thanksgiving, so I'm going to try to wrap everything up in the next 7 days. In fact, if you have something for me, you get it to me in that time frame. I can still print it. But
yeah, absolutely. We'll put something
we're going to put it in there. But make sure you all get this and then be in prayer. God has given us a reprieve, but for how much longer? Who knows? But if we do nothing with this reprieve we got, I don't think he would give us more. So we need to be good stewards. Now, let's talk a bit about a very important date, Thanksgiving coming up. I'm going to turn it over to you, brother and sister Catelyn. Tell us what you've got planned for the homeless people.
Okay. Well, now, I'm going to call you on that for a moment here, too, because, you know, everybody that knows about our ministry, and I really don't understand all you folks that always go, what do you got in store for the homeless? Well, what we got in store is for anybody that walks in the door.
Yes.
We are in one of the worst parts of the town, one of the poorest parts of the town in Wichita, Kansas, and we take care of the homeless and poor.
Yes.
Of course. The poor, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about poor folks who can barely keep a roof over their head and keep clothes on themselves and their children. Also come in here and get. Now, right now, predominantly, most of the people that do come in are homeless. And so this is going to be our 20th Thanksgiving. And so what are we going to do for them, Mom?
We're going to make Thanksgiving dinner.
You know, what are you going to do? Now, here's a dumb question everybody asks. When are you going to do Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving.
That really cracks me up because I can't count how many people.
Well, you know, people's been having Thanksgiving since November the 1st. They started having Thanksgiving dinners.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't pay much attention to everybody else. I just pay attention to what we do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we're going to be giving them Thanksgiving dinner, and it's our biggest 2 days of the year. Why do I say 2 days?
Because we feed Thursday and Friday.
We feed Thursday and Friday. What's the difference between Thursday and Friday?
Thursday's Thanksgiving and Friday's a regular feed day.
Okay, but there's another major difference. They get to come through the line and pick out, oh, I want some of this and more of that and not this and not that and all of this. But then on Friday, you just serve them a great big plate.
Yeah,
you?
I just make them plates, but they can have as much as they want. They can have seconds and go plates and everything on Friday. On Thursday, they don't get seconds. Well, they can eat as much as they want. They just don't get go plates.
Right, right. And they don't get it. And they get to come through and pick it out of the line.
Yeah, they get to come through and pick it out.
Right.
But on Friday, we serve them.
And we serve them. And why do we serve people?
Because that's what we do, is we serve them dinner. We serve it to them.
Right. We
except for here recently, it's just been me and you, and I still serve it, but I put it up in the window, and they come up to the window and get it.
There's
just a lot on my knees, and I have to do all the work and walk back and forth and carry it and everything else. So, yeah, I just put it up in the window recently.
Well, that and what we're talking about is we had somebody that was, you know, helping us for a long time, and he helped us on both days of the week, Tuesday and Friday, but he went back to work after 7 years. He believed father told him to. But the point is right now we're looking for somebody not in the homeless community that would like to come and dedicate themselves to actually helping every Tuesday and every Friday. We'll leave it up to the father. So yeah, you've been doing, we do it on our own basically. But I still, we serve egg sandwiches from 1 to 3. When I still serve, the first, I make sure everybody has had 2 sandwiches, and then I serve them. Then I put them in the window for them to get themselves. Because I'm busy doing other things like, what do I make?
Dinner. What kinds of food? Your spaghetti.
Well, beyond the spaghetti, what I'm trying to say is I discovered an easy route. We talked about this last time.
Peach cobbler.
Yeah, peach cobbler and pineapple cobbler and all that. So I'm also baking, you know what I'm saying? So, the reason being, we serve them such a great meal, and it goes back to serving. The word of our Father says, whenever Yeshua said it, actually, he said, whenever you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So when I've served a really good cobbler or a really good plate of spaghetti, you know, I feel like I've served it under Yeshua, because that's what he said. And so that's how we're supposed to do, folks. When you give to the Father, you're not supposed to give what you have left over. And I praise, I'm thankful for worn out clothes that people give us, or when they change their wardrobes ever so often and they give us those clothes. But realistically, we're supposed to give the best to the Father and to the Son, not the last, not the worst. and not if you got it after everything else is paid. See, that's the key to a lot of people's blessing, and I'm not one of them name it and claim it people, but people want the, they keep saying, oh, God, bless me, want him to bless me, want him to bless me. Well, start off with giving him the money like he asked for the money.
Yeah, quit robbing his money.
Yeah, quit stealing his money, and just like the word.
Well, quit stealing his everything, because it's supposed to be 10% of all gain. That's not just money, that's everything you gain. You're supposed to give 10% of it to the Lord.
Right, and after that, there's a thing called free will offerings. And so, but the point is that you should, and you, it also, the word also tells us that those that don't help their own family and help the people in their own family first, they're like an infidel. And so you're supposed to take care of your own family from there. Charity should go out from there afterwards. But anyway, so we're going to be doing probably around, well, 2 days, we'll be doing about 300 plates. Well, we'll do over 300 because we did last year.
We did 125 on Thursday and 125, that's 250.
Right, but you were saying you thought it was going to be bigger this year.
Oh, I can't say that. I don't know.
Well, I believe that it's going to be bigger. I'm seeing a lot of new faces, and so we will prepare for more than less. And so right now, how are we sitting? How many turkeys you got? You need more turkeys? What do you need?
Well, I haven't got all my turkeys done.
So how much money do we need?
Right now, I've got six turkeys cooked, and two more supposed to be coming that's cooked, and I've got two I'm going to cook tomorrow. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that's 10, and I still got to do 8 more.
Right, so we need the money for 8 more turkeys. Is that what you're saying? That's what we need to know.
Oh, I don't know what I need. Probably 300 will probably finish it off. I don't really know. It's hard to guess. It's hard to estimate. I don't know. I leave it to the Lord. The Lord will provide it. I just know I need 8 more turkeys. I always say it backwards. I need to cook 8 more turkeys so that I have all my turkey cooked. Because I only have one oven, and I want to be able to cook everything else this year without all the stress. So, yeah, and I don't know what all. I was out with my brain aneurysm Tuesday, so I have no idea what came. So I can tell you what
okay,
I got,
okay,
what I don't got.
I'll make some clarifications. Number one, brain aneurysm. She had that a few years ago. They just went back to check it and make sure everything was right up there, and so they said everything was right. Okay, point is, I know we've got enough potatoes. What we do need, we need some large cans of vegetables that we still don't have, and so we either need the donation of the large cans of vegetables or money for that. We also need, we don't have the dinner rolls or any of those things yet, we need that. Usually what it boils down to is the last day, the night before, and I do know this, it has not failed in the last, I don't know how many years, that just to get the final things to make up for everything that everybody has given us, it takes us anywhere from about $350 to about $500 and some odd to do that final shopping trip the night before Thanksgiving. And we don't have that money yet. We do not absolutely have that money yet. And I know we still need money. We could use another $100 on turkeys for sure.
Well, I just had somebody send me a donation in the mail for the plates and the stuff like that. They normally get it and bring it to us, but they couldn't get time off work to come this year, so they mailed me a check yesterday, so I should have a check coming for the plates and the cups and the silverware and the stuff that they always bring.
Let me say to the people
okay,
tuning
so
in
and
out
I do
there.
Have the go eggs. Ahead. I've already got the eggs.
Folks.
Okay.
And I got carrots.
You hear the things that are being itemized here. There's more work that has got to go into preparing for this celebration next week. We're only a week away.
Right.
Next Thursday
right.
and Friday, Thanksgiving. Now, folks, there are people that have no place to go for Thanksgiving. Some live on the streets. Some are very low income. They can't afford a turkey. And Brother and Sister Catlin, Messiah's Branch there in Kansas, is going to be opening up the doors to the Mission Church. And they're going to be feeding the people that come in, giving them a warm place to eat, to rest, blessing them. And you have an opportunity to help make this happen. I'm here to tell you that many will be blessed because of what you and Sister Linda are going to do, Brother Dan. And folks, you can also partake in that blessing. It's not a lot that needs to be done. If everybody gave a little bit, they'd have more than enough and extra. And I tell you, God will bless you for remembering the poor. Word of God says, he that lends to the poor has lent to me, and I shall repay. And there's another word that talks about how can you go out and share the gospel with someone who's hungry? Do you want to give them the gospel and then knowing that their belly is empty, say, you know, go in peace? No. You feed them and then also feed them the word. You minister to them. So get behind this. This is the real deal ministry. I've been watching them for many years, and they have faithfully been stewards over what comes in and have helped as many as they could that come through those doors. Now, Brother and Sister Catlin, how can a person tuning in anywhere in the world, in fact, get PayPal? That's real easy. You can support it from any part of the globe with that. How can a person give? Where do they go?
You can you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at our ministry at prophecyhour.com.
It's
at
just
prophecyhour.com.
Prophecyhour.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And folks, a little bit more, they can get the turkeys, and they're going to need some fixing. What are y'all doing for dessert over there?
Well, usually we get pies from this one restaurant that a person usually gets for us, but have you ever gotten a hold of him yet?
Let me clarify that real quick. Yeah, this one restaurant usually does. I sent him, and I've heard nothing from him. You now need to go ask Sharon.
I've got another person. My sister's going to go by there and see if we can still get our pies. If not, guess what? We're going to have Little Homemaker Pastor Dan in there making peach and pineapple cobbler for us.
Let's remember we have one oven.
Right.
And we've got a lot of things to do. So, we could use, we just flat need donations. If you live in Wichita or surrounding area, someplace close, you can make things and bring it, but we really need cash.
Yeah.
I'm more realistic than my wife. She says she doesn't know how much money we need or to leaving it up to the Father. My guess is really it's going to take to get it done, everything, and not sweat it. It's going to be at least that final trip will be about $400 to $500. We need to net some money for turkeys. We need about $750 to make this happen.
If you live in the area and like to bake pies, you could bake me a couple pumpkin pies because last year we only had one pumpkin pie the whole Thanksgiving.
Let me say this before you cut me off. But, folks, when you donate online, if it's for Thanksgiving, either send me an email that says it does or you can PayPal, it'll let you put a note on it, say Thanksgiving on it so we know it's for Thanksgiving because we can't let it interfere with regular donations for other things. So make sure you mark it for Thanksgiving. And, yeah, you could still mail a check or money order, but you'd have to put it in the mail tonight because, remember, it's next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Back to you.
And
folks,
I go to town on Wednesday, so you have to be here by Wednesday for me to get it.
Well, I mean next Thursday, not tomorrow.
No, next Wednesday.
ProphecyHour.com. Let me repeat, prophecyhour.com. Pray what God would have you to do. Get over there and give. And I know there's going to be a great report coming from it. We're out of time, Brother and Sister Catlin. We love you both. We'll see you next time.
Love you too. Shalom. Happy Thanksgiving.
Goodbye. Shalom to you. Be blessed. Thanks for have Thanksgiving. Great.
Thank you.
Bye.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26.
In the days of Noah, keeps ringing in my ear. People laugh and scoff when they hear the end is near. They go right on with building, not giving God a thought. Getting about the flood, in anger he once brought. The spirit of all Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that he's the only way. But most won't even listen, the devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to buy. Some just think of money and how to get some more, but little do they realize God's closing up the door. Soon the door will close, and when they hear it slam, their riches will be all for naught and their soul forever damned. So if you want to put your trust in wealth, you've lots to fear. For the distant thunders are rumbling and the storm is almost here. You must put your trust in Jesus, for He's ours today. When the storm of darkness comes, in Him you will be saved. Yes, the spirit of old Noah is alive and well today, telling them of Jesus, that He's the only way. But most won't even listen. The devil's got them blind. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find. They walk the path so broad, more riches trying to find.
The art of decorating eggs dates back to the spring rituals of pagan sun worship thousands of years before Christ. The spring fertility goddess Aphrodite, Eostre, or Easter, was thought to have turned a bird into a hare, thus the Easter bunny laying eggs. The most important motif or decoration pattern was the symbol of the sun, crosses, triangles, rosettes, and stars. The egg representing fertility has played many different roles throughout the ages, and has been associated with the pagan sun worship of many civilizations, including Greece and Rome, the Germanic countries, and even in Japan and China. One Egyptian account relating to the mystic egg of the Babylonians says that a very large egg fell from heaven into the Euphrates River. When the egg was hatched, out of it came the goddess Venus, or Astarte, from whom the name Easter is derived. Today, on the date known as Easter, which is celebrated at the exact time as the pagan fertility rites of antiquity, Easter egg hunts are held by traditional Christian churches around the world. Many times, religious leaders, fully aware of the abominable practices associated with Easter, fail to sound the alarm. The Bible says that they will be held accountable. It is no coincidence that the pagan practice of decorating eggs has crept into the organized church, and is now associated with the resurrection of Christ. It is part of an age-old scheme to substitute the ways of the heathen in place of the true worship of the Creator. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.